A new study by CNA, the nonprofit research and analysis organization, presents the most effective bullying prevention programs in place throughout the country. And to join us to talk about that is the managing director from CNA, Simone Robers. Good morning, Simone. Thanks for joining us. Appreciate it.
Good morning. Thank you for having me.
So let's get to this. What did this study look at when they were trying to determine the most effective bullying preventatives?
Sure. So bullying obviously has always existed. There are many anti-bullying programs available for schools to implement. Our research at CNA Education identified two key points when we studied the different programs. First, that ineffective programs are one-off programs that might occur right around now at the beginning of the school year one time. Second, the effective programs are holistic programs that are actually built into the school curriculum continuously throughout the school year, and it also include the community at large. We also found that effective programs to combat bullying, cyberbullying, and build resiliency stress, that silence allows bullying to thrive. So everybody, I believe, has heard at one point or another about the bystander phenomenon. So silence itself and silent witnesses become part of the problem. Students might witness bullying happen in the school cafeteria where during lunchtime a student might say something like, oh, you're drinking milk, milk is for babies. And an incredibly effective tool to combat the bystander phenomenon is role play or enacting scenarios with students and teachers in the classroom where empathy is built and social connectedness is built. And our research at CNA Education shows that role play and acting out those scenarios builds resiliency among students.
Are programs in schools fairly widespread now or no?
They are. It's a matter of not only implementing programs fairly widespread, but also evaluating the effectiveness. So merely having an anti-bullying, anti-cyberbullying program within your school, but not evaluating the effectiveness of it and the impact of it is not sufficient. So we really want to make sure that we have research organizations such as ours collaborate with districts and schools to make sure that the programs are meeting the needs and are making an impact.
When you mentioned sort of the holistic approach to it, how do you implement that throughout the school day, the school year, even in a math class or other things? Are there ways to do that? What do you recommend?
So resiliency is learned, and it is learned through communication. So effective resiliency building programs foster respect. They teach positive behavior, which you certainly can do throughout the school day. They teach empathy, social connectedness, and relatability, and communication. So what parents and teachers both can do is to have conversations with your children early on about what bullying and cyberbullying might look like, encourage your children to have those conversations amongst each others or also with other adults, tell stories, share stories about how you might have been the victim of bullying, how that made you feel, and what actions you took, did not take, or wish you had taken. Parents and teachers can talk to children about who they play with, what they play. I noticed over the summer my daughter was playing with the same girl over and over again, and after like about 6 weeks, she stopped mentioning that girl completely, and that raised a flag for me. So I started talking to her about what was going on, why was she not playing with her, and it turned out that she was actually being bullied by that girl on the playground.
But then your daughter decided, I want to separate from that. So there's a technique, avoid these people or don't associate with them or find new friends that, you know, will validate you, I guess, and to avoid those. But with how do you incorporate the cyberbullying, which is really outside the realm of the school, even though it happens maybe during the school day, it's a sort of a different force. What can we do about that?
Sure. So the social media is an opportunity, but obviously, as you noted, it also has drastically increased cyberbullying, especially among females. Again, I think that communication is key here. Being aware of the social media use. As a parent, obviously, I'm using social media also. So I can talk again about my social media world and have my children talk to me about how they might be using social media, just generally being aware of what's going on in our children's lives, I think is essential.
What is the resiliency that you try to build, and at what age? Is it just a matter of, hey, just ignore it, it doesn't mean you, or, you know, I love you, you're fine, don't, you know, there's, even if you say that, how do you kind of make that shell, how do you build up that sort of defense?
So there's resiliency building programs right now start in elementary school. They should probably start earlier. They should start in kindergarten. But there's tiered resiliency building programs that we have identified at CNA Education that start in elementary school, and then they continue through middle school all the way up to high school. They've proven effective in reducing the amount of bullying, mainly because they're based on social connectedness and making students relate to one another on the negative effects that bullying might have on students. And they stress emotions and how to express emotions and disappointment, how to be compassionate, and how to problem solve early on.
Does the pendulum swing too far in one direction at some point, where bullying becomes, no matter even if you just slightly tease somebody, it has the same effect as if you actually were having some more malicious intent?
So the key to when something is considered bullying or cyberbullying is if one party, usually there's a power differential between the aggressor and the victim, and if the victim feels emotional distress, at that point it turns into bullying. So there might be like some friendly teasing. As long as no party is emotionally distressed by it or bothered by it, I would consider that not bullying. But at the moment that it turns emotional distress for one party, it is certainly bullying.
And you talk about also involving the community, parents, the teachers, so the adults, if you want to put them in that status, what active role do they need to take in this?
Sure. So in addition to having conversations as parents at home, the school community can create events where parents and other adults, other family members are invited to attend those events. During those events, you might conduct some role play, fun game scenarios that address the topic. You can invite the community. Counselors are a really good resource to invite into schools to observe, but also to give guidance to students and teachers on maybe triggers, maybe things that I help identify if there is a larger problem.
Can people find out more about this study by CNA so maybe they can bring it to their schools, or if there's educators listening, how they can actually implement some of this idea?
Absolutely. So the information can be found on our website. It's www.cna.org. We're a nonprofit research and analysis organization, and the education division specifically conducts this research and works closely with schools and districts to implement programs and then evaluate the effectiveness and tailor programs. Then we conduct surveys and focus groups with students and teachers and other adults to make sure that we really support our students as best possible.
Simone Robert is joining us this morning talking about it. She's the managing director for CNA. Appreciate your time this morning and sharing the insight this morning.
Absolutely. Thanks for having me.